Thousands of Wisconsinites each year get trapped in what our next guest calls financial quicksand by taking out short-term, extremely high interest rate loans. State lawmakers from both parties are working on new legislation on payday loans and other financial products aimed at reforming the lending practices that are often referred to as predatory. Bill sponsors cite a 2021 report from the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions showing Wisconsin payday loans is having an effective annual interest rate of 536%. We're going to check out these lending practices, why many experts say they can be dangerous loans, plus resources that can help people deal with this kind of debt and the potential impact of proposed legal changes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Have you ever taken out one of these payday loans or other short-term, potentially high-interest loans? Were you able to pay it off in time, or did you get caught in a kind of cycle? And whether or not you've interacted with these kind of loans, do you have thoughts on what they are, questions about how they work, changes you'd like to see in the law? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Sarah Orr is clinical professor and director of the Consumer Law Clinic at the UW Law School. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
Can you start off with the basics? What do we mean when we talk about payday loans in particular?
Payday loans are short-term consumer loans, and they typically come with very high interest rates, as you mentioned from the DFI report. And they are typically made for, 90 days, fewer than 90 days, where people have to pay the loan off within that time period.
And there are payday lenders. There are other kinds of sort of short-term, potentially high-interest loans. Is there a lot of variety in these potentially risky products?
Well, I think there is. And you mentioned what the proposal that is now being working its way through the legislature about changing the definition of payday loans, which I think has a lot of good attributes to it. The main one being that it extends it defines payday loan as a loan with a term of 90 days to 6 months. So it wouldn't mature, in 90 days, let's say. And I applaud that change because I think it really does reflect the products that we at the Consumer Law Clinic have seen people trying to manage. So we haven't seen a lot of these fewer than 90-day loans, as payday loan is currently defined, but we have seen more that are for longer periods of time and are structured more like installment loans, where a part of the payment that a person must make, when every payment is due, goes toward principal and some toward the interest.
One argument from the industry in the ongoing debate over regulation has been, these loans are going to people who don't really have another recourse. Maybe they don't have another option when they need short-term money. And B, those annual rates, well, if you pay it off in those 90 days, those annual rates aren't going to come up. So not a big deal. Your thoughts on how the industry has presented itself?
Well, I think I'm familiar with the message that it helps people who are in a bind, a temporary bind, to pay something that has come due, and you can get the money quickly and take care of whatever obligation has arisen. But studies have found that, in fact, people, once they take one or two of these out, the financial emergency really becomes paying on these products. And so they may pay just to roll it over to the next period and really are not making any progress toward paying down the loan itself. And so I think that studies out there, there's an excellent one. It's an old study now, but it's called Phantom Need, where it kind of debunks that idea that these are intended for people for short-term financial needs. And the other part is that at such high interest rates, these products are unaffordable really from the get-go, even with the best of intentions of paying it back. Or making the payments when the payments come due, the fact of the high interest really makes them unaffordable. And I have seen in the clinic over my time there that they are affecting not only people who are living in poverty, but people who are of modest means and modest incomes.
Talking to Sarah Orr, clinical professor, director of the Consumer Law Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School, looking at payday loans and other high interest short-term loans. A few different pieces of legislation in the works here in Wisconsin that would change how those industries are regulated. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have questions or maybe an experience to share. That's 800-642-1234. You mentioned, Sarah, one of those pieces of legislation that would expand the legal definition of a payday loan. There's another one led by Republican state senators here, including Andre Jacques, that would propose putting a cap on the annual percentage interest rates for these loans at 36%, which still sounds high, a lot lower than that 500 some. I understand this has happened elsewhere in the U.S. in some jurisdictions. What kind of difference would that make?
I think that would make a big difference. It might bring these products into the range of affordability for people who take them out. I say, why not do both? Because, you know, as I said, as soon as you take out one of these products, if the interest rate is high, almost immediately you're going to have trouble repaying. And I wanted to point out one thing, which is kind of a little technical point, but although the pending legislation seeks to expand the definition to include loans for 90 days up to 6 months, In the loan contracts that I have seen that people are struggling to repay, the payments are still due every 2 weeks. That's kind of where the term payday loan comes from. So although it might be more like an installment loan where you're making a payment and it goes some toward principal and some toward interest, you still have to come up with a payment every 2 weeks. And that's where people really get trapped.
And then another piece of legislation, and I got to admit, this one kind of baffles me as I try to read through it, Sarah, has to do with reforms to wage garnishment for when people have these loans. They, I guess, default on it, and then companies are looking to collect this debt. This is Senate Bill 327. Can you help me make sense of that?
I can. Actually, I've spent time with this bill. I went into it deeply and have determined that really the bill is about making sure that individuals who have a court order for repayment under the victim restitution statute are able to get that court order sort of in a position to be paid back through a garnishment of the debtor's earnings. And so at first I was alarmed because it talked about, you know, a 13-week time period that we're used to seeing in garnishment. But I did determine that I think it will not have a negative effect on consumers as we know it. But I still do want to make the point that wage garnishment can be very confusing for folks. We see people who are dealing with old money judgments from courts. They may have participated in the court process or they may not have. And they may not even remember having a judgment or may not be aware until their wages are garnished. And this is an area that my clinic really is focusing a lot on because it affects so many Wisconsinites. I guess my message is that the wage garnishment process has a lot of protections for debtors, but also balances the rights of the judgment creditor to be paid without really impoverishing the people who owe the money.
We're talking about problems and concerns associated with payday loans and proposals in the legislature intended to help tackle at least some of those problems. Sarah Orr is with us, clinical professor and director of the Consumer Law Clinic at the UW Law School. Coming up, we'll look at some resources available, especially for people who might be in a cycle of short-term loan debt. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about how this all works. Do you think that the annual interest rates, as one piece of legislation would do, should be capped for these short-term loans? And have you had an experience with them for better or worse? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Sarah Orr, clinical professor and director of the Consumer Law Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. We're looking at bipartisan proposals in the state legislature aiming to fix some of the allegedly predatory practices associated with payday loans and other short-term high-interest lending. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on payday lending? Do you want to see caps on interest rates as one of these law changes would tackle? Have you experienced this, or has someone in your family gotten caught up in this short-term debt where they're having to take out new short-term loans to pay off the old short-term loans? Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Sarah, I want to talk about resources available. Someone, say, who is caught in that cycle. They took one of these loans, couldn't pay it off. They're maybe taking on more and more debt at high, high interest. What are some resources through your clinic or elsewhere that they could reach out to?
Well, unfortunately, we're not able to do financial advising in that respect. There are some nonprofit organizations that can work with someone to look at what kinds of credit products they are dealing with and how to allocate payments or not. I mean, our message really, when we start to meet with a person who's now in the legal end of dealing with this kind of debt, is that they need to make the decisions that are best for themselves and their families. And we're not encouraging people to not pay on their debts. And frankly, I don't think I've met a person in my years at the law school, who does not want to pay the debt back. They really struggle with it. There's a lot of shame attached to this and a lot of pressure. And so, you know, if you can get yourself to a financial advisor, there are some free services available out there to just help you take some steps toward getting a handle on it. We strongly advise that. Unfortunately, many times, you know, if a person is dealing with credit card debt or private student loan debt or debt that's coming from, you know, after a vehicle has been repossessed and they still owe on the loan, that's when people can come to our clinic for assistance and we can help them navigate the process, understand the legal process, and represent them if necessary.
Yeah, we were talking about if you get your wages garnished because of this kind of debt we're talking about, if someone's in a position where all of a sudden, maybe unexpectedly, wages are coming off of their paycheck to pay off those debts, is there potentially legal recourse? Can you make a case that this is, punitive, making it hard to live?
Well, people have a lot of... They have a right to basic income and basic financial protections against wage garnishment. And I say to your audience members that you can take action on a garnishment at any time during the garnishment. And at the beginning of the garnishment, you should have received some papers, but for many people, that's long ago. And so if you come to the realization that you are under a garnishment of your wages, please do reach out to my clinic and my students and I can assist you in understanding the process and getting you the forms that you need to do to fill out to communicate with your employer. So the employer is brought into the debt collection process in these cases and the communication goes from the consumer to the employer. But we're, you know, my students are trained and supervised. We're all set to handle and help people navigate the process and assert the rights that they have under our statutes.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Matthew is with us in Dane County. Matthew, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I was wondering if the legislation is going to involve auto title loans at all, because that's something I've dealt with in the past. And unfortunately, it's affected, this was years ago, but it affected my ability to register a vehicle, and I had a vehicle repossessed. So I was just, wondering if this was going to be something where they addressed, you know, some of the issues, I guess the parallel issues that exist within the auto title industry as well, or if they commingle at all.
Matthew, thanks a lot for sharing that experience. Sarah, is that are these auto title loans in this category of short-term, potentially high-interest loans we're talking about?
Matthew, I'm sorry you had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Auto title loans are one of the worst financial products out there in terms of, trapping consumers. And unfortunately, the legislation does not deal with auto title loans, and so it would not improve that industry or improve those products.
Thanks for the call, Matthew. As part of the story here, Sarah, a lot of the so-called payday lending is collateral-free loans. The bank or the lender won't take away a thing from you. They'll just keep racking up interest and penalties, whereas an auto title loan is against your auto title. There's a collateral there. So does the law look at this as a different kind of lending?
That's exactly correct. Yes.
Matthew, thanks again for sharing that experience. Liz is with us in Lyons. Liz, hello.
Hi. I was just wondering, why isn't there some type of rule or legislation or something at the end of all these commercials where they're really friendly about giving you a loan? They're like, oh, we'll help you out. There should be a disclaimer somewhere at the end where it says, by the way, if you do this with us, you must pay us back or we'll garnish your wages. So that way, I mean, I know better than to do any of that, but like, there's just some people that are so in desperate need that they're going to do it anyways, but they should be made aware that there's recourse for them not paying it back like they're supposed to. And it should be at the end of these very friendly commercials.
Liz, thanks for the call, Sarah. I'm guessing there's some very fine print somewhere along the way, but do you agree with Liz that there needs to be more transparency about the terms of these loans?
Absolutely, I agree. Another aspect of this that is, happening as we speak are a lot of new apps that are coming out that allow people to obtain small loans, quick loans, also, borrowing against their wages and so forth. And so that's another area that is of high concern for us, because people, feel the pressure of time. And if you're putting something right in front of them that meets that pressure, they're going to get trapped in this. And the disclosures really, either they're extremely tiny or they're at the end of a process or nobody reads them. I can't agree more with the caller.
Liz, thanks for the call. Tim is with us now in North Prairie. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, predatory lending is not appropriate. I mean, I think we'd all agree on that. That has mainly to do with interest rates. But I can't quite tell from your guest if whether or not she thinks that people should be responsible for paying back loans that they take out. If they're not, then that hurts the rest of us consumers who do pay our fair share. There's a balance there. And so I'm wondering if the organization that she represents also works towards stopping predatory lending on the part of the lender or rather than just saying, well, garnishment of wages, if they're making a loan payment, that's coming out of their wages too, if they were to be making them.
Tim, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. And Sarah, I think you mentioned earlier, nobody in your clinic is going to say, don't pay your debt.
That's correct. And we work with people every day who are trying to do that. And so our message is not that people don't owe the money. Our message is that people do owe the money and there are protections for debtors who do owe the money, which include protection from unfair debt collection practices, protection in the garnishment process. And let's not forget that, if it ends up in a garnishment where the person has gone into court and there's a money judgment and it's being collected through their earnings, many people aren't exempt from that. And so that's how the debt will be repaid.
Thanks again for that call. Sarah, one underlying concern I've seen in all of this is that for many, especially low-income people, they may not have a lot of banking options. They may be underbanked. Banks may not want to deal with customers who don't have a lot of money to work with in the first place. Do you see part of the solution maybe in trying to create other options than payday lending or nothing for people?
Well, I wish there were more options out there, and I wish more people would be banked in the traditional sense. And that's where my concern comes with banking through apps and the, you know, the speedy nature of technology and the confusing language of technology, that people may be getting into even deeper and faster traps. So yes, and I, this is not my area of expertise in terms of market share and so forth, but I really wish that there were more in the traditional vein lenders who are offering services and accounts for people who are underbanked.
And in just our last few moments, Sarah, if someone is in this debt cycle and thinking, okay, maybe I do need some kind of legal help out there, how do they reach out?
Well, a person could call the Consumer Law Clinic. I need to say that we don't handle bankruptcy and we can't advise about bankruptcy, but a person is welcome to call us at 608-263-6283. My students come back in about a week and we'll be able to speak with people after that. And we are also on the law school website, and that address is law.wisc.edu/EJI/CLC.
And we'll get a link up at the Central Time page at WPR.org. Sarah, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Sarah Orr, clinical professor and director of the Consumer Law Clinic at the UW Law School, talking about payday loans and maybe some changes to state law in the works.